we love you so much this morning. And we're so thankful for your many blessings, Lord. I'm so thankful for all those that are here this morning. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign here. That you'd minister and speak to each and every one of us in whatever area we need this morning, that you would be there to meet that need. May we listen intently to what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 17. And I used to not go to Sunday school. During Sunday school, I would pray and read my Bible and everything. And then when I started doing the youth again and I wasn't able to be with everybody on Wednesday nights, I just started feeling a real disconnect, because I wouldn't hear prayer requests and everything. And so I thought, since I'm not able to be at Wednesday night service, I need to start going to Sunday school. And so usually before I come to church, I'm reading over my sermon and praying and everything. And this morning, as I was reading over the sermon, it's not that it changed, but the Lord, I felt like, spoke to me about adding something in. And so just a few minutes before I got here, I was writing stuff down. And so I really hope it all flows together. And if it doesn't, then it's okay. You guys, God knows what we need to hear this morning, right? And this message that we're going to talk about today is being thankful. And I honestly, I haven't looked back at my notes, but I think I talked about being thankful in the last few months in a sermon. But I really needed this message Friday as I was preparing. It's easy to lose that sense of gratitude if you're looking at what others have and what you don't. Friday, I was eating breakfast with a coworker, and we just got to talking, and he's been at FedEx 5 years longer than me. He's been there 25 years. I've been there 20 years. And I know he's got a lot of money, okay? But we were just visiting and talking, and he began to tell me how well his FedEx stock has done. And when we were first hired, we had the option that you could contribute every week and you would just accumulate so much stock. And he said from the first day he was hired, he's had $50 a week taken out of his paycheck for stock. And I'm not complaining. I've made the choice. My wife made the choice, and I'm not putting this on anybody else. But when our kids were little, she stayed home and took care of the kids. And so I didn't have $50 to put in stock. I didn't have $5 to put towards stock. We needed every penny we made. So I never did get in the stock program. So he's sitting there, we're just visiting, and he was talking about the little house that he lived in when they first got married. And he said, then this house with 80 acres came up for sale, and it was close to my parents. And so he said, you know, we made the decision, we sold some stock, and we bought the place. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They bought it. Brick home and 80 acres. And he said, you know, and then a few years went by, and that other 40 acres behind us came up, so we sold some more stock, and we bought that. And he said, then that other house place that we bought 3 years ago that connects with that 80 acres, he said, so we sold some more stock, and we bought that. And he goes, you know, my wife was griping the other day and said, you know, I wish you wouldn't have sold all that stock and maybe we could retire. And he said, but look, I mean, he's got like 160, 180 acres and two houses paid for, and he's 50. And he said, you know, but he goes, oh, I still got a little bit in there. And he goes, it's not much, you know, right around 100,000. Huh? And I'm going, so you bought all those? He goes, oh, he'd probably only have, you know, 500,000 or 600,000 now. And here I am, I'm only 5 years behind him, and I have nothing, you know, in stock. That's what I'm saying. And so I'm sitting there going, man, what an idiot. If I'd even put $10 a week back, you know, but it's easy to start looking at what other people's have and become jealous or envious and then not be thankful for everything God has given you and what you have. Because every one of us in here, there may be people in this room a lot wealthier than me, and there may be people in this room that don't even have as much as I have. But you know what? We all have so much to be thankful for this morning. In Luke 17, verse 11, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to them, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" So we understand that leprosy was a terrible disease back then. It affected your skin. It could affect your vision. It would have to be wrapped. There was no cure for it back then. I didn't realize that there was a cure for it today. And I didn't realize that there's still about 20,000 cases yearly in America. Did y'all know that? A leprosy? I didn't know that. And it's highly contagious. But here there was no cure for it then. And so to be cleansed of this, you would think that it would be, you would have overwhelming joy and such a gratitude of, "Lord, thank you for what you've done." But yet, out of the 10, only one returned giving thanks. And it just made me think of how many of us today, we take for granted all of our blessings and we really don't stop and say thank you. I mean, I don't think that I necessarily like Thanksgiving better than Christmas, but Thanksgiving is really such a time that if we genuinely will reflect on all God has done for us and begin to give Him true praise and true thanks for all that He's done. And y'all, today in our society and our culture, it's very much needed. We need to be appreciative of all the blessings that we have and all that's been given to us. Flip back a few chapters to Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And it says, Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissing them and pouring perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. One of them had the money to pay him back. Or neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debt of both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who has the bigger debt canceled." "You judge correctly," Jesus said. You know, sometimes I wonder if we're not thankful because we don't realize how much we have, how much we've been forgiven, how much Jesus has done for us. You know, it's like, If you're really thirsty and you don't have any water and you finally get a bottle of water, you get a glass of water, you're thankful for that water and it tastes good, right? But like, you know, most of the time, if you're not really thirsty and water's not that precious to you, it's not that big a deal. Just go turn on the faucet. And so every time you get a glass of water, in your heart and your mind, are you going, "Oh, thank you for this water"? And you brush your teeth and you turn on the faucet and water runs out. "Oh, thank you for this water. It's fresh. It's clean. I'm so thankful for this water." I don't know if any of us do that. Why? Because there's abundance. We're not lacking in it. But you go to these other countries, and I know Third Day, the music group, and a lot of Christian music groups, they do these concerts and things to build these wells overseas where people have no fresh running water, and they dig these wells so they'll have something. So those people, when they get a well and there's water, what do you think they're saying? Thank you for this water. Oh, it's wonderful that we have this water. I wonder how many of us, we don't have that gratitude towards our Lord and Savior of saying thank you, because we don't really appreciate all that He's done for us. Verse 44 says, "Then He turned towards a woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" You think about that. She was so appreciative. And she loved Jesus so much. And she just wiping His feet with her hair and her tears and that perfume. And most of us, if Jesus was here today and we saw dirty feet from walking on the dusty, dirty roads, we'd be, "Ugh, let somebody else wash His feet." And we're just so caught up with everything that we have that sometimes we forget all that we've been given and how much we should appreciate all that the Lord has done. Psalms 9:1 says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds." I like that because you know what? When you're thankful for something, you usually tell people, don't you? You know, if someone does something super nice for you, last week I think it was that I was telling y'all about the guy that was holding the door for me when I was carrying out the boxes of pizza and just how nice that was. That's a little act, but you know what? I was thankful that he did it. And I told y'all, because when someone's done something for you, you usually tell people. You tell about how great and how wonderful they are. Should we not be doing the same with our Lord and Savior? "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonderful deeds." When I was studying this, there's 7 scientifically proven benefits of having gratitude. 7 proven benefits of having gratitude or a thankful heart. Number 1, it opens up the door to more relationships. You win new friends, right? If you're a person that gives thanks and has a good attitude, people are going to be drawn to you more. 2, it improves your physical health with fewer aches and pains. Is that not amazing? That it improves your physical health having a heart and a mind of being thankful and having gratitude and less aches and pains. You know, I'm terrible because when I was reading this and I thought, yeah, they probably just don't talk about it. They probably still have the aches and pains. I'm terrible. But this is supposed to be proven. We should be thankful. Number 3, it improves your psychological. It reduces toxic emotions in your mind, from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Just like I told y'all about my friend that put this money in the stock and has all this money. You know what? If I allowed myself, I could become resentful and frustrated and have so much regret that I could lose my joy. Why did I not do something? Why did I, you know, do anything? You know, but we can't live in that. I should be thankful for all that God has given me and all that God has done. Number four, it enhances empathy and reduces aggression. And there was, I'm very briefly summarizing this. There was this huge study with all this that people are less likely to retaliate if they're thankful. If someone's done them wrong, they're less likely to get in a fight. All these things, you know. Number five, you sleep better. Isn't that amazing that you can sleep better if you have a heart of gratitude and a sense of being thankful? Number six, it improves your self-esteem. Number seven, it increases your mental strength. Research shows that gratitude reduces stress and plays a major role in overcoming trauma. And in that study, there was all these people from Vietnam to 9/11 in the World Trade Center that they did these studies on, and was talking about people with gratitude and how much it even strengthened their mental capacity. God, there's so many benefits to being thankful. But I believe the biggest benefit to being thankful and having that heart of gratitude is you can go to Psalms 100, and Mitzi sang that song, and it was the very first song we sang. But this is the very most important thing, I believe, about having that heart of being thankful. Psalms 100, and we're just going to read the whole Psalms here. It's just five verses. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." You know, I've been debating on when to do it and how to do it, and doing a sermon on the worship time here. And I think sometimes we think that when Mitzi and them's up here singing and playing, that it's just part of a routine. But it shouldn't be part of a routine. That it should be coming from our hearts of worship and praise. And you can look in the Old Testament when they would put the singers and those playing the instruments out in front of the military before they went and attacked to sing praises to the Lord. And y'all, this is a time that we can worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Verse 3, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation." All the scientific benefits of gratitude, they're all great. But I think verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I wonder sometimes if we don't experience God the way that we would like to, because we don't enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We enter His gates saying, "Lord, help this person, help that person. Lord, give me, give me, give me. Lord, help this, help that. And Lord, can I have this? And Lord..." And I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for people. We should be praying for people, but enter His courts with thanksgiving. And I wonder how many of us, when we begin our prayers, "God, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for my home. Thank You for my family. Thank You I have electricity. Thank You for my car. Thank You for whatever it is." Do we enter His courts with thanksgiving? I mean, it's something to think about. And all the other benefits, this to me is the biggest benefit. You might say, "Well, Pete, my life's so tough. How can I give thanks? How can I give thanks? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's going on at home and the things done in secret." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 through 18 says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If we begin to look at everything wrong in our life, we can lose our joy. We can lose our gratitude. But I think when you pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, I don't think that means that you're giving thanks if you have cancer. But you give thanks that, "God, that Your strength can see me through this circumstance. God, that your car's broke down and you're short for the electric bill. But God, you can see me through this. And you can give thanks that you know that God is there, that God is faithful, and that He's not going to let you go, and that He's always there, and that God's in control. And I think when we begin to give God praise and thanks, it just increases our faith and it builds us up. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body you were called to peace." I want y'all to listen to this. "And be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Be thankful, gratitude, give thanks. It's repeated time and time and time and time and time again throughout the Bible about being thankful. Philippians 4, and y'all can be thankful. We're about to finish up, okay? If you're falling asleep, we're almost done, okay? Philippians 4, verse 4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." That says always, not sometimes, not once in a while, not just when life's going good. Always. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." Y'all, there's something. You go back to the benefits of gratitude, and right here that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. But it's when you're thankful, when you're presenting your request with thanksgiving, and it all works together. And don't be anxious about anything. You're not going to be anxious. You're not going to have anxiety when you begin to thank God that He's in control and that He has your life in His hand. To keep that attitude of gratitude. I want y'all to think about when this was wrote, Philippians, Paul was in a Roman prison. Okay? And he's writing all this with thanksgiving. Present your request to God and He'll guard your hearts and your mind. And he's writing all this while he's in prison. And I thought about this whole book and the chapters here. And chapter 1 says joy and suffering. He's in prison. Joy and suffering. Chapter 2, joy and serving. Chapter 3, joy and believing. Chapter 4, joy in giving. He's writing all this from prison, but yet he has joy. Why? Because he's thankful. And we're going to finish up in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Paul had learned how to be content. Too often we let our circumstances rule whether we're going to have joy or whether we're going to be thankful. I got a lot of regrets in my life from sin, from rebellion, from fights, from saying mean things and hurting people to not buying stock. I mean, you know, all kinds of things in my life. And if we just reflect on everything that we've done wrong and all the mistakes we've made, how are we going to move forward? But if we can find that peace and contentment in every circumstance and begin to just thank God that there's breath in our lungs, that we're alive. I can't remember their names because it's been so long ago, but there's an evangelist that seems like, and I can't remember if he's missing his limbs or if he's just paralyzed, and his thing is he preaches and he's just full of joy and happiness, and he's like, and what's your problem? What's your excuse? You know, here he is confined to a wheelchair with and he's, so what are we complaining about? I preached, I don't know, it's been a few months ago, about perspective and having the right perspective, you know. And really, to have a thankful heart, it's getting the right perspective. And knowing that God's in control. Knowing that I can enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Maybe you've been feeling distant from God lately. Maybe you feel like God hasn't been speaking to you in your spirit. Maybe there's something been missing. I challenge you this afternoon, just begin to name things that you're thankful for. Begin to praise God for all that He's done for you. And maybe do it all week. It's Thanksgiving week. It's easy to be reminded. It's Thanksgiving week. Maybe every day begin to write down or just speak out loud everything that you're grateful for. And watch and see if it doesn't help your attitude. Maybe even helps your aches and pains. I don't know. That's what the scientists say. But most importantly, help your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. I thank You for what You're doing in this body of believers and for the people that are here this morning. Lord, it's with such deep gratitude. I'm so thankful for this body of believers, Lord, and the friends and the family that we are to one another. I'm thankful for the new families that's been coming, Lord, and I'm thankful for the ones that are going to begin to come. Father, I pray for Your forgiveness for all the times that I just act like a baby, that I act like a spoiled brat. And Father, I pray that You'd forgive each and every one of us for the times that we act like spoiled children. And Lord, that our minds and our hearts would truly be renewed, and that we would truly begin to walk with an attitude of gratitude. And that we would count our blessings and realize all that You've done for us. And Lord, that we would truly enter Your gates with thanksgiving and Your courts with praise. Lord, that with every breath that we take, we would praise You. And You give us strength this week. When circumstances are difficult, when work's tough, when home life's tough, when whatever it is, and we're facing difficult circumstances, and may we find joy. May we find peace, and may we give thanks. And understand that You're in control. May we trust that Your will is truly being done in every area of our life, and may we find peace in that. If we're tempted to complain this week, may You grab that complaint and may we turn it into praise and gratitude. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If y'all need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open, and maybe now would just be a good time to just sit and stand, kneel, whatever, and just begin to count your blessings and tell the Lord thank You for all that He's done.
Oh, so are You weary and troubled? No light in the darkness You see. There's light for a look at Savior, and life more abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His word.
You guys for being here, and I encourage you this week to truly be thankful, count your blessings, all that the Lord has done for you. And you know, if you're struggling with finding anything to be thankful for, maybe begin to think about things in your life. If they weren't there, and how would it be? You know, sometimes my job, the things going on there is not always fun, but you know what? When I think about losing my job, I'm very thankful for my job, you know, and so the right perspective in everything too. And so we will have our Bible study tonight, no Wednesday night service, and I hope if I don't see y'all this week, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, if you don't get here till 10:30 or whatever, come down, we'll have donuts and coffee downstairs, and love for everybody to be here, and have a blessed afternoon.